Well, good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you. It's really good for us to be here. It's a great privilege, and thank you for coming. Everybody in our family greets you. We've got our genius son who sorted out the video, Etienne, and Karis, the girl, and of course Allison that you saw in front, and the handsome one is me. Today, we're going to be talking about Christian mission. And I'm hoping that you'll see where I'm getting these ideas from as we just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So keep your Bibles open in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll also look once or twice at Luke chapter 24. Before we do that, let's close our eyes in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we just quieten ourselves before you, we understand that you're a great and glorious God, and we understand that we're coming to read your word, and we don't want to misuse your word. We don't want to distort it. We pray that we are understanding it correctly, thinking about it. And Lord, the things that are true and said by your word, we pray that we would apply and really take on board full-heartedly in our lives. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. If we're talking about Christian mission, there could be a lot of different ideas that we might have. For example, the media might be thinking or portraying something like that, Christian mission, some unworthy Westerner going to speak to the natives who are probably much better people than he is. If you mention the word mission to a non-church goer, this is the kind of idea that they might have in their head. You know, you're this really holy, saintly person going and just running religious church services somewhere. Perhaps some of the locals where we live also might have this have the idea that this is what we're doing. We're coming and swanning around and making ourselves look beautiful. If in the church, what would you guys be thinking about missionaries? Maybe we're just somebody that some people that come and ask for money. Parents of missionaries sometimes think that this is what their children are doing. They've given it all up for love, traded it all in for love, and they're just sleeping. What do we think we're doing? We might think we are preaching to thousands of people and converting them. We might be deluded. What is the reality of what we're doing? Maybe eating strange foods a lot of the time. But all of us have a certain idea of mission in our minds, and we need to have those ideas corrected or enlightened by the Bible. So that's why we're going to have the Bible open and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to answer the question, what is Christian mission, by using 4 points. Hopefully you'll be able to repeat the 4 points afterwards. There'll be a test. You become a free member of CMS if you pass the test. So the points are, what is the foundation of Christian mission? What is the content of Christian mission? What is the motivation of Christian mission? And what is the ultimate goal of Christian mission? So we'll look at the first point. What is the foundation of Christian mission? I think everybody's got the NIV here in the church. So it's slightly different to what's on the board, but I'll just read verse 1 from the NIV. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Since by God's mercy, through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." Now, when he's writing about we, he's writing about himself as an apostle who goes and travels to many places. He's speaking about the other fellow apostles that are with him. He's also, interestingly enough, talking about the churches that have sent him. So he's thinking now, what is the basis of this thing that I'm doing? It's the mercy of God, right? Since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. That is what we're talking about. This is the very thing that Jesus was talking about and we heard in Luke's gospel. I'll just read Jesus' words in verse 46 of Luke. this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness will be preached in all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So that's the mercy of God that Paul is talking about. This, not just a feeling that God had, but God's mighty action in the world to send his son to die on the cross, to rise again, to take away the guilt that we had before God, and to give us new life. This is the mercy of God. That's the foundation of Christian mission. That's why Paul was doing everything that he was doing. And that's why we've gone to Namibia, because of what Jesus has done for us. So, not only are we talking about this, the ministry that Paul had in traveling around the Mediterranean world, we're talking about every ministry that everybody has as a Christian. It's by the mercy of God. And God has opened, just back, Robin, God has opened the door for us to be in Namibia. And we are so grateful for that. He's opened that door by God's mercy. Not only so, but if you look at the next slide, who are they? Very good. The people at Narrabri Anglican Church. Run-of-the-mill Christians. Paul is saying, since by God's mercy we have this ministry. He didn't say, I have this ministry, but he says, we have this ministry. And he's including the Corinthians with him. And similarly, even though we've gone to this faraway country, Namibia, you are with us in that. We have this ministry in Namibia. And not everybody can go to a faraway place, but everybody can partner in that ministry. There's been a number of people from this church that have been so supportive to us in our ministry, so encouraging to us, and we're so grateful for them. We're so grateful for them and to them. I hope everybody got one of these cards. If you didn't get one, just stick up your hand. Maybe Jenny at the back, you can. But I think everybody got one. But you'll see that CMS, which is the organization we've gone with, they encourage people to get involved in mission by doing one of those things: praying, caring, giving, and going. So you need to be doing at least one of those things. There's a certain gentleman in that photograph that you see with a green jumper. Do you know him? It's Hugh.
Yeah.
You know, sadly, Hugh is no longer with us, but he's in the presence of the Lord. That's not sad, is it? It's a reason for rejoicing. But Hugh, while he was with us, Hugh was a partner with us. Hugh always used to send us jokes now and then on email. He would write, how's it going? And he would also be, he would inform us about how things were going in Narrabri, what Tim's up to. We would always be praying very hard for Tim. But what the parish was doing, and he was a partner with us. So Tim was one of those people that would be fitting into the care category. And many others in this congregation would fit into that as well. I'm hoping that many of you would be praying for us or perhaps financially participating in the ministry. So that's going to be one of those challenges that I'll give you. Paul writes, since by God's mercy we do not lose heart. In other words, he knows that there is a temptation to lose heart, to get discouraged. So Paul is challenging them that he himself doesn't lose heart. We're not losing heart as we return to Namibia next year. And I don't want you to lose heart either as you partner with us. So that's the foundation of Christian mission, the mercy of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. Okay, the content of Christian mission. Right, I've picked up a few little words and phrases there from 2 Corinthians, but it's probably worthwhile to look and see where I got them from. Lost my little bookmark. That's not good. Right. Paul writes in the middle of verse 2, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. So you can see already what's central in Paul's mind is the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, he wants to tell people the truth, which is the word of God. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let's just jump to verse 5. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. So that's what Paul's been doing. That's how he's reminding the Corinthians of what he's done for them. He hasn't distorted the word of God. He's set forth the truth plainly. He's proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord. In my version of the Bible, by open statement of the truth, we proclaim Jesus as Lord. That's the content of Christian mission. Open statement of the truth, proclaiming Jesus as Lord. That's what NETS is aiming to do. It's a theological college. If you value the ministry that you receive here or in this diocese, it's because people have been trained, they've been taught well at theological colleges. If you've benefited from that, you need to understand that people in Namibia don't always benefit from that. In fact, very seldom do they benefit from a minister or even a Bible study leader that's been well trained. It's an enormous privilege. And that's what NETS is doing, setting forth the truth plainly, proclaiming Jesus as Lord. Personally, at NETS, we don't work at the campus, but we work in the distance department. So we, as you saw in the video earlier, we run study groups for people in remote areas. And those people are enrolled in distance courses, but they can't come and study full time. And often those study groups are simply like little Bible studies. And those people are just amazed at what they're learning and how they're benefiting from these little study groups. Put up your hand if you're involved in a Bible study. Yeah? Wow, that's most of you. You know, in most Namibian churches, there are no Bible studies. And that's a new experience for people who enroll in the course. So they're very encouraged. And those Bible studies, of course, are looking at the Word of God, making sure we're understanding it correctly, and showing how Jesus is central there. If we go to the next slide, there's Jesus. That's a painting on one of the churches. And the top line says, "Do you love me?" So what does the bottom line say? Anybody from the congregation? So Jesus is saying, "Do you love me?" Bottom? You're so shy. I know you know. Come on. Somebody shout it out. Okay, we'll give you a clue. Jesus is talking to Peter after his resurrection. "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Feed my sheep." That's right. Okay, so if we love Jesus, we have a responsibility to feed his sheep. Jesus said to his disciples, next slide, when he rose from the dead in Luke chapter 24, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Repentance and forgiveness of sins. See, that's the sad thing in Namibia. Lots of people actually claim to believe in Jesus as Lord, but they know nothing about repentance and forgiveness of sins. So there's got to be a little bit of content to that, a little bit of sound teaching. So in a church, just like this one, there would be a lot of people. But if you go and chat to those people, they have no understanding of the fact that their sins are actually forgiven. And then you might investigate a little bit further and you see that, wow, their lifestyles are way off the rails. They've got children out of marriage, they're getting drunk, there's lawlessness. So that's the nominalist context of Namibia. Although people believe in Jesus as Lord, There's no forgiveness and repentance of sins. So that has to be, you have to make sure that that's part of your message when you proclaim the word of truth in Namibia. And not only that, but you understand that you're actually working in a context of spiritual war. If you look at your Bible again, Paul writes in verse 3 and verse 4, he says, even if our gospel is veiled, hidden, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Wow, there's a blinding happening, and it's from a spiritual force. That's Satan. And those spiritual forces are at work, not necessarily openly in your face, but just under the surface, where people might go and visit our good Dr. Salih when they decide that church isn't working so well for them, or their prayers haven't been answered, so he'll sort out all your love problems and things like that. But it's a spiritual war zone, and that's what happens when you proclaim the word of truth openly. So what is the content of Christian mission? Open statement of the truth, which is the word of God proclaiming Jesus as Lord, with repentance and forgiveness of sins. Remind me, what's the foundation of Christian mission? Mercy of God, okay? Two, the content of Christian mission, Bible-based proclamation of Jesus as Lord. Okay. Number three, the motivation for Christian mission. I think I can pick that up in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. You can hear the passion and the energy in what Paul writes. He feels what has happened to him when he saw that blinding light on the road to Damascus was just like when God turned the lights on the first day of creation. It is so significant. It is so life-changing. That's what happened to me when I was at university. When I first understood about Jesus, then I wanted to share with other people. And especially I wanted to share with other people in other parts of the world that hadn't had my privilege. The lights had come on for me. I wanted to share it with somebody else. That's the motivation of Christian mission. Personal spiritual awakening. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That video is not going to work, is it, Robin? Was that an I don't know? All right, not a problem. If you come along, okay, that's your teaser. You would have seen Mavis on the screen, but if you come along to one of the events that Tim advertised, you'll hear her. But she says when she came to prison, she was totally confused and depressed. And then she had the opportunity to do a NETS course. Then she experienced the hope, joy, and peace of the gospel. And now she's filled beyond capacity to go fishing people for Jesus. That's what Mavis says. The experience of somebody who's done one of the courses, because she's had an encounter with Jesus Christ through his word. And I think many of you, most of you, can identify with that. Yes?
So, one or two.
Have the lights come on for you? Have you seen the knowledge of the glory of God? Yes? Isn't it an amazing thing? Don't you want to share it with others? Don't you want to share it with people in faraway places?
I do.
That's the motivation. That's why we want to. Because we want other people to experience the light. Lastly, what is the goal, the ultimate goal of Christian mission? Right? Let's look in our Bibles. It wasn't read, but let's look. I think we've got to skip a little bit further to verse 15. And you can go and read the bits in the middle for homework to check that I'm not distorting the Word of God. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. You know, when you hear the gospel and you give thanks to God for his Son, you're glorifying God. You're saying how wonderful God is that he could save a wretch like you. And when a person anywhere in the world, whether it is in Narrabri or in Namibia, when they hear the gospel and they say thank you to Jesus, they are glorifying God. And when you hear about somebody who's heard about Jesus in a faraway place or in Narrabri, and you say thank you to God that that he's made himself known, you're glorifying God. And that's what God wants. Ultimately, God is glorifying himself. God is sending out his people into the world so that his name would be glorified, so that more people would accept him and receive him and honor him and obey him and trust him. All of that brings him glory. That's his ultimate goal. And that should be our ultimate goal as well, as we do ministry here and as we get involved in ministry in faraway places by committedly praying, by caring for those who have gone there, by giving, or perhaps obeying God's call to go ourselves. So I know that prayers are said for us in the church here, and I'm so grateful. I want to say thank you. I want to encourage you, just like Paul said, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Keep on. I want to encourage you not only just to come to church and say amen when somebody prays for us. I want to encourage you to take this card home. It's got a little magnet so that you can stick our beautiful faces on your fridge or something metal and have us as part of your household and keep praying for us. And if you've been moved by anything I've said, you've got another panel here where you can fill in your details and you can become a CMS member. And that's a way of like signing on the dotted line to say yes. I understand that the foundation is God's mercy shown to us in Jesus. I know that that's by that open statement of the Word of God, the truth, is necessary. Yes. I've received the light, and I want other people all over the world to receive that light. Yes. And I want God to be glorified. So I want to challenge you, if you're not a CMS member, that's one way. To make sure that you're personally committed to God's mission by becoming a CMS member. But I leave that to you to think about and pray about. So just to summarize, and then I'm done. The foundation of God's mission or the Christian mission is mercy of God. The content is the Bible-based proclamation of Jesus as Lord. The motivation, why do we do it? Because we've received the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what is the ultimate outcome of this? God's glory. Thank you.